In the book of Psalms, and we are in the 30th chapter. Mothers, again, welcome. I see many faces that aren't normally in our class. We are blessed to have you with us today. Thank you for giving us your morning. In this particular Psalms, we don't have the background that we have had with most of the Psalms. There's just too much in the way of an unknown here. It's a Psalm of David. The title that has been with us for generations says a song of the declaration or the dedication of the house. And the word house can be translated palace or temple, God's house. We just don't know. scholars debate it and argue as to which it is. Some scholars say that this was a dedication when David brought up the ark out, Ark of the Covenant, and it was to be placed in the tabernacle, and that's when this dedication was made. Others say it was written for the threshing floor of Arnok, and that's the area where the future temple was to be built. Others say it was for David's palace, his house. We just don't know. What do we know about the text? Here it is. This text deals with problems. The text deals with pain. And the text deals with David's answer, praise. Three P's. Problems, pain, and praise. Now, it's pretty general. We don't know the problems. We don't know the pain. But we do see David's act of will in praise. How many of you, let's make some application, how many of us have some problems? Okay. How many of us have to deal with some pain? So see, this text is for all of us. This text is for you and me. Problems and pain are a way of life. And so we can read this text and we can know that it is speaking to each of us. Problems, pain, praise. That's what David chooses. Or I wrote down problems, pain, or fill in the blank. Could be pout. Some of us pout instead of praise. And then I wrote down several P's, and we'll go over those in just a second. David writes and says in chapter 30, verse 1, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to thee for help, and thou didst heal me. David says, I will extol thee in the King James in the New American Standard. The New International says, I will exalt thee. In the message, it says, I will give you all credit that you're due. I found that to be fascinating because that's what we looked at last week when we studied the 29th chapter when David asked, well, basically, who's going to give God his due credit in verse 2. And here in this chapter, he's saying, regardless of the pain, regardless of the problems, I am going to give God his due credit. I'm going to extol him. I'm going to exalt him. David said, this is an act of will, a decision that I'm making. I cried to the Lord, and thou didst heal me. Now, listen. Just like we don't know much about the dedication itself, we don't know much about the nature of his problems and his pain. And the more I thought about that, we've spent a lot of time over the weeks giving real succinct background to each psalm, and that personally has helped me, and I think it's helped you as well, kind of understand the poetry of Psalms a little bit better when we understood the background of what he was writing about. We don't have that this week. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, well, that must be by God's design. That he left it a little generic, and sometimes generic is not all bad, because if we knew the specific problem and if we knew the specific pain, if it's not the problem or pain we're dealing with, we might check out. We all have problems and we all have pain, and sometimes if we're hearing somebody else's problem that's not relevant to us, then we don't listen. And if the problem was a bad mother-in-law, okay, if that was your problem, you might listen. If it's not your problem, you'd check out. You kind of get it? I just use that as illustration as Mother's Day, all right? Don't read into it. Generic problem and pain. So what do we know out of the text? We know that David said he had enemies. That's in the text. We know that he was in pain. I cried to thee for help. Thou didst heal me. So there's some pain associated with this problem. We know that David chose to praise the Lord. I will extol thee, O Lord my God. thou hast lifted me up. Here's what I want you to think about for just a second. I kind of alliterated it with three P's. Problems, pain, making it simple for you, praise. But I want you to also think of the other P's that you could fill in the gap with. You see, that third P is an act of your will. You get to choose how you're going to respond to the problems and pain that come about in life. And every one of us have to process real pain, and every one of us have to process real problems. Now, it's that third P, we get to choose. What are some of the ways we could choose to process problems and pain? Well, I wrote down pout. Pout. I've got problems. I got pain. Woe is me. Unfair. I'm being piled on. So some of us, have you ever known anybody to pout with problems and pain that come their way? What are some other P's? Problems and pain are reality. How else can you respond? Paul? Pride. I didn't even write that one down, but that's exactly right. Problems and pain, but I'm just going to be full of pride. Actually, I wrote down the parade. I'm going to be a martyr. Look at me. Problems and pain. And so pride, parade. What else? Yes, Doug. Prevail. I'm going to prevail. That's pretty good. That's positive. I wrote down a lot of the negative ways we could respond, but that's pretty good. I wrote down, how about punt? Problems, pain, I quit. I punt. I give up. I surrender. How about punish? Problems and pain, and so therefore I'm going to lash out and punish others. Dixon Murray, counselor, says hurt people hurt people. And sometimes the people that are hurting the worst are the ones that are the meanest and the ugliest and most vile to other human beings. Why? Because they're hurting themselves. And so sometimes with the problems and pain of life, what we do is punish others or penalize. I've got problems in my life. I've got pain in my life, and I want to penalize you. I feel penalized, and therefore I want to penalize you. How about this? Perform. I've got problems and pain, so I'm just going to perform. I'm going to masquerade. I'm not going to be transparent and deal with the problems and pain I have, so I'll just perform. Betty? I'm sorry? Prayer? Another positive one. You guys are spiritual today. You're getting me the praise, prayer, and that's good. Persevere. How about this? Pound my fist. I've got problems, I've got pain, and I'm angry, and I'm going to take it out on someone else in anger. I like to say, you know, when problems and pain come, you can either open your palm, praise the Lord, or clench your fist. Pounding our fists is another way we sometimes respond in problems and pain. How about this one? Pledge. Oh, God, if you'll just get me out of this problem this time, I promise I'll go to church. I promise I'll turn over a new leaf. I promise I'll start being good. We call it foxhole religion. When the bullets are flying and the GI is at the bottom of the foxhole. Oh, God, save me this time, and I promise. Yeah, for a week, right? Yes. Okay. Pity party. That's exactly right. Woe is me. That's exactly right. A plot. Problems and pain, so we plot our revenge. You did me dirt, and I'm going to get you back. Anybody know anybody that's into revenge? So you see all the P's that we could enact? Here's my goal when today is over. Understand, that third P, that ball is in your court. My prayer is that when the day is over, we understand we all have problems, we all have pain, but that we purpose to praise the Lord. He's the master of the sea. He's the God who's sovereign. All things work together for the good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purposes. If it happened, you have to say, as a providential, sovereign, holy, omnipotent, omnipresent God, he allowed it to happen. Therefore, if he allowed it to happen, he allowed it to happen for purpose, and I'm not going to embrace one of those bad P's. I'm going to praise the Lord. Doesn't that make sense? That's the goal when the day is over. Now, note that many believe that when David says here, he healed me, many believe that David had a physical infirmity, a physical sickness that he was having to process, We don't know what it was. Again, we don't know the nature of it. If it was a heart problem, and you don't have a heart problem, you might not associate. But we don't know the nature. But many said it was a physical infirmity. J. Vernon McGee was one of those who said David was processing a physical infirmity. Here's what J. Vernon McGee said. It is my belief and the belief of many others that David was once as sick as Hezekiah and that God raised him up. We have no record of what the sickness might have been, but these verses tell us that God healed him. I like this psalm because God did the same thing for me. That's what J. Vernon is saying. In fact, I consider this psalm my psalm because of having cancer. The Lord has permitted me to go on and live. And he goes on and says, oh, my friend, if you are sick, take your case to the great physician and then call the very best doctor that you can get, because the great physician gave him all of the skill and wisdom that he has, whether he knows it or not. And that's good advice. If you're facing a physical sickness, you go to the great physician, the Lord, and you also go to the very best doctor on planet Earth, because God has given that doctor the gifts that he has. Physical infirmity. Take a little detour now. This is probably a pretty good time to stop. If this text deals with physical sickness and healing, maybe it's worth going there for a few minutes. Physical sickness and healing. Many in this class have been there. Many are going through that valley right now. Many are pondering and wondering what the Lord is up to. We understand that. Well, let me just tell you this. I believe in supernatural divine healing. All right? I believe in that. I'll give you a couple of case histories of that. I also believe that God is sovereign, and sometimes he chooses not to heal. And I want all of us to understand that all healing that takes place, even divine healing, is temporal. It is appointed unto man once to die. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but he did go back to the grave. He's not walking around today, to my knowledge. David, according to this text, was healed, but he went to the grave later on. So all healing is temporal for the glory of God, for a specific purpose. Sometimes we don't know. Do I believe in healing? Folk, I would want you to know, yes, I do. Have I seen it firsthand myself? Absolutely, I have. I'm seeing the Roberts over here. You know it. I know it. I learned this lesson early on in my ministry when your little grandson was so sick. Little Chess was in the hospital, 4 or 5 years old. 4 years old, diagnosed with leukemia. Diagnosed with leukemia and therefore getting chemo as a four-year-old. With the chemo, because the chemo kills the bad stuff, but it kills the good stuff too, makes you very susceptible to all kinds of diseases. With the chemo, he caught pneumonia. With the pneumonia, they had to induce a coma to try to deal with the pneumonia and monitor the heartbeat. And in monitoring the heartbeat, they put one of those wires down your heart so they could monitor the induced coma. And accidentally, they broke off a 2-inch strip of wire in his heart. I was there when the doctors told Randy and Deborah, make peace with God, your son won't live through the night. I was there. I also have his picture today. Here he is in the hospital. Here he is playing baseball, and I think he's a paramedic today, right? You know, 20-some-odd years ago, and the boy's doing great. Do I believe in divine healing? Yes, I was there when the doctor said he can't make it through the night. Twice! I was there when they said it once. Can't make it! I was there with my brother. He's normally in this class, and you've been with him, and he's grieved at the death of his wife Donna a couple of months ago. But you don't realize that 12 years ago, she was diagnosed with brain cancer. She went through all the chemo. She went through all the stuff that you have to go through. And I remember when the doctors told my brother, get your children together and get in a circle and say goodbye to your wife and your mother. She's got less than 2 weeks. Live 10 more years. And so I have to believe that God did a supernatural work in maintaining her. I was there when I received the phone call, and Maureen was coming out of a a graduation exercise, and she's pregnant with our first daughter, Amanda, and she's walking with her 88-year-old grandmother at that time, and they're walking out of the exercise of graduation, and a senior in his exuberance of graduation is peeling out and lost control of his car and went through the ditch and struck Maureen and her grandmother. And grandmother, 88, went over the car, and Maureen went far away through the ditch, and I got the phone call and said, get to the hospital. You don't normally go up against an auto as a pedestrian and do too well. And yet Maureen was released that night. Next morning, Grandma got out the next day, both of them fine, no broken bones, no nothing. I considered it miraculous. I was there. I mean, it was me when young married guy, and I'm coming back from a hunting trip, and my friends are in the front seat talking, and we've been bird hunting, and I see their lips moving, and I can't hear them, and I went down to Herman Hospital and test during the day, and they got us in the room and said, you got a tumor in your brain. You got a tumor. We've got to discuss the nature of it and the scope of it and figure out what to do. So we had to go back all day test. Well, they tell you have a tumor, you know, kind of hard to rejoice and praise the Lord. And so we go back and we do the all-day test, come out of the test and say, hey, we can't explain it. We can't find the tumor. But we were told it was a tumor. They said, well, you know, there's no tumor, but you do have bad hearing. Well, hello, you know that. over and again, I was there when my best friend's a missionary and he's getting ready to go overseas, and at the last minute he decides to go and get his driver's license renewed so that when he's overseas serving the Lord, that when he came back he wouldn't have a driver's license. It's much easier just to renew it, so he renewed it prematurely. And he said, Cindy, you need to do the same thing. It makes it much simpler. You don't have to start from ground zero when we get back. So she went to get her driver's license renewed, and they do that eye test, and they said, something's not right. You ought to go check with your eye doctor. She checked with her eye doctor, and they said, you got a major problem. They did some tests. She's got a golf ball-sized tumor in behind her eye, in her brain. 12-hour surgery at MD Anderson Hospital. They said had she gone overseas, there's no way she could have made it. They got the tumor, and it's 20 years ago, and she's doing fine. All I'm saying, folk, is you'll never convince me that God doesn't sometimes choose to heal supernaturally. He does. It's also equally true. I've seen in his divine providence sometimes he said, come home. But even then, he's defeated death, hell, and the grave. It is not the victor. The question becomes, how are you going to respond when you get that bad report? Are you going to, problems are real, pain is real, or are you going to praise him? Is he a sovereign good God even when the diagnosis is bad? Was there a hand up back here? I saw a couple of hands. Yes. Speak loud so everybody can hear. By the way, if you don't know it, folk, we, the staff, do anoint with oil. Yes, sir. Now, we don't do it Sunday morning, 11 o'clock. You know, it's not something. The gifts of God are given to bring glory to him, not to bring glory to a gift. You know, what we try to say is God gives gifts sovereignly and severally as he will. So I don't have the gift of healing, but I have seen God heal. But we don't craft services that try to magnify a particular gift. We want to magnify the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and sometimes he chooses to heal. So if you ever want to be anointed with oil, pray for healing, we do it almost weekly, by the way. We just choose to do it privately in the office with the staff and some of your family. Was there another hand? Charles. He's back with the Lord now, isn't he? Thank you, Charles. Verse 3, O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from Sheol. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you his godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name. In other words, O God, because of you, the grave is not the victor. O God, because of you, I'm alive. O God, because of you, I will live forever. Therefore, I'm going to sing praise to my good God. Folk, listen, singing praise is an incredibly important part of you being a godly one, a Christ person. Singing praise to the Lord. There's a lot of peace you can choose. Praise is the one David is saying you ought to choose. Praise the Lord even through dire, tough circumstances. Now, let's talk about praise for just a second. You know, folks, I thought about that a little bit. You know, there are some circumstances I can praise, and there's some circumstances not conducive for me to praise. And it's just me. It's just the way I'm hardwired. You know, I'll be honest with you. I'm just trying to be transparent. I have a very difficult time. I can't praise in the awakened service. I'm just telling you it's about Chuck. I can't. I've been in there. And I go to the awakened service, and when Eric leads in the music, I try to follow, and I listen, and I can't hear the words, and even when they have them up there, I can't sing like they sing, and I get frustrated, and I just can't praise in there. I just can't. That's me. Now, having said that, listen to me. My children praise the Lord in there wonderfully. They are connected in there. They're able to praise in there, and I just rejoice that they're able to go in there and to praise. I can't. I've tried. Folks, I promise you I've tried. I've tried. It's not Chuck. It's not Chuck's kind of music. I try to connect. I can't do it. But I turn around and I go, you know what? My kids do and can, and most young kids can, and they're running about 800 in there now, and I just rejoice in what I can't do. All right? Now, conversely, though, I do have a responsibility to praise, so I better go to a worship service I can praise the Lord in. And I can praise the Lord with traditional music, and I can praise the Lord with the blended music. And I'm very comfortable in there, and by and large, I can follow. I can't carry a tune in a bucket, you know that, but I can praise the Lord. That's the responsibility that we have, to praise the Lord. It's incredibly important to praise. That's what David is saying right here. Sing a praise unto the Lord. So why don't we do that? You got those sheets, Jimmy? You paying attention? You passing them out? Joe, pass those sheets out. While they pass the sheet out very quickly, just give groups to different people. Here's the song. Most of you know it. It's not a contemporary song. Go figure. It's one of the old hymns. He keeps me singing. All right? Here are the words to it. Listen, it's perfectly fitted to this lesson. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low, fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebbs and flows. Life is full of pain and problem, ebbs and flows. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Second stanza, all my life was wrecked by sin and strife, discord filled my heart with pain. There it is. Jesus swept across the broken strings that stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. This praise song deals with the struggles of life, the ebbs and flows, the pains that are real. But we can praise the Lord in the midst of the pain. You with me? Charles, you probably can sing this a lot better than me. You're always looking for a stadium of four men, all right? You are. Come on, Charles. We know you. Think. Lead this song for us. Would you do that? Yeah, look at them clap for you, Charles. They're clapping for you that I'm not leading the singing, all right? Here.
Ready?
We're ready.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred my slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Thank you. Sing a praise unto the Lord. Okay, you can be seated. That's what David is saying. Problems and pain are a part of life. It's going to be there. But choosing to praise him is a ball that's in your court. There are a lot of things we can choose to do. Pity party, pout, pound our fists, patronize others. You know, we can have a lot of choices. You know, we can parade around. We can choose a lot of negative things, but we have to choose as godly ones, Christ ones, ambassadors for the Lord, to praise him. Because if it's happened, we have to say he's a sovereign God. He's allowed it to happen. If he's allowed it to happen, he's allowed it to happen for purpose. And so if there's purpose, we have to be reconciled to the fact that God is good. All things work together. He's got purpose in this thing I'm going through. I choose to praise him. I hope it makes sense to you. Yes, Maureen. That's a good word from my wife. She taught me everything I know. Really? I mean, praise him all week. It's not just about coming here and praising him. You know, I walk the dog early in the morning. I really do. That's what I do in the morning. It's my job. I walk the dog. What do I do while I walk the dog? I like to sing praise songs. I mean, I'm a bad singer. I know that. And so when I walk the dog by myself, the dog can't complain, you know? I walk the dog and I sing. It's my quiet time. I talk to the Lord. I sing praises to the Lord. And I can't tell you how many times I've had negative feedback from you, friends, who've seen me on the trail. And Brother Chuck was rude. Brother Chuck didn't speak to me. Honestly, I'm in another. Have you ever been in another world? I don't ever mean to be rude to people on the trail, but I am usually locked down thinking about the Lord and praising the Lord and talking to him. Brother John got a nasty letter a few months back. Can't believe I saw Pastor Chuck on the trail. I said, I saw him on the trail. I didn't mean to not say anything to him. Hey, guess what? Didn't they hear the song I was singing poorly? Oh, well, I digress. Like Maureen says, praise the Lord 24/7. Okay? Praise the Lord. Verse 5, for his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. You understand, God has a righteous anger. I know we hear all about God's love, and he is a loving God. But he also has a righteous anger. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. You know, if he's chastening, he has purpose in the chastening. You know, because our acts and actions are out of bounds for a godly one, for a Christ follower. And so sometimes he chastens in order to reprove, in order that we might be corrected. But his joy comes in the morning, and it lasts forever. That's what Jesus is talking about in John chapter 16, verses 20 through 22, where he explains this sorrow that will be replaced with joy. It says it like this, John chapter 16, verse 20. Truly, truly, I say to you, you that weep and lament, there's the problems and pain, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy whenever a woman is in... He's given an illustration here. Whenever a woman is in travail, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she remembers the anguish no more for the joy that the child has been born into the world. What a great Mother's Day testimony in the midst of this message on pain and problems. You women understand this principle. Oh, yeah, great pain in giving the birth. But when the child is there, unbelievable joy, you forget the pain. And it's that way with the problems of life. They last, they're brief, they have purpose. Understand, they have purpose. God allows them because they have purpose. For our edification, for our good. Don't focus on the pain and the problem. God has unspeakable joy out of the purpose of the pain. Reminds me of another song. Joy Comes in the Morning. You see it right there? Gaithard's song. I'm not going to try to sing this one, but listen to the words. It came straight out of Psalms chapter 30. If you've knelt beside the rubble of an aching, broken heart, when the things you gave your life to fell apart. You're not the first to be acquainted with sorrow, grief, or pain, but the Master promised sunshine after rain. Hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. Weeping only lasts for the night. Hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. The darkest hour means dawn is just in sight. Hold on, my child. Gaithard song. Straight out of Psalms 30. Pain and problems are reality. Hold on, my child. God has joy for you. Don't let the pain and the problem make you clench your fist and lash out with God. Verse 6, now as for me, I said in my prosperity, most would say in their poverty, but David King could say in my prosperity, I will never be moved. O Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. David is saying, it doesn't matter the problem, it doesn't matter the pain, I shall not be moved. That's a song too, isn't it? I shall not vacillate. I shall not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I'm going to praise the Lord no matter what takes place. Now, folks, that was not a true statement early in my Christian life. I mean, I was a Christian. I liked the Lord. I knew I was saved, but I wanted to snuggle up to the world too. And I wanted to be Christian when it was appropriate to be Christian, but I wanted to chase the world when it was appropriate to chase the world. A double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. And I can't tell you that I didn't vacillate with the problems and pain that came my way. But we went to a Gothard seminar early in our married life. I can remember coming home and said, you know, enough of being a double-minded man. Enough of that. I'm a Christian, and it's time I start acting like a Christian. And so we came home. We poured out all the alcohol. We said we're going to start going to church regularly. We're going to be found faithful. And I prayed. I said, God, I'm not going to clench a fist anymore. I'm going to live for you. It was the next week that accident I told you about happened with Maureen, when she was hit by an automobile and grandmother went over the car and Maureen went through a ditch. And I got the phone call at home from the hospital. Get up to the hospital. Your wife's been struck as a pedestrian. She's carrying our first child. That's all they would tell me. You don't go up against the car very well. I did not know if she was dead or not. I didn't know if she was going to be crippled for a life. I didn't know. I could surmise the worst, couldn't you? And on my way to the hospital with tears in my eye, I remember vividly talking to the Lord and saying, the prayer that I prayed last week, I meant it. If you've decided to call her home, I'm not going to clench a fist. I shall not be moved. I'm going to praise the Lord, not knowing the circumstances of my wife, not knowing the circumstances of my first child, not knowing the circumstances of my grandmother. I shall not be moved. I've been both sides of the fence too often, too many times, and I know you are my God, and I'm going to praise you regardless of the circumstances. That was an act of my will. When I got to the hospital and learned Maureen was fine, I went, cool, God. Wow. That is really unbelievably neat. But I'm convinced. I know that had he called her home, that I was talking to the Lord transparently, saying, I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you, not knowing what's going to take place in the next 30 minutes. That's what David is saying here. I shall not be moved, even in prosperity. I'm not going to let it sway me. I'm going to be a God person. Thou didst hide thy face, I was dismayed. To thee, O Lord, I called, and the Lord I made supplication. Here's a truth that we all need to get a hold of. Jeremiah says it like this. Jeremiah says, he's the potter, we're the clay. And that's true. And as clay, sometimes we're in the kiln, the fire of life. And the fire has a way of curing the clay, has a way of drawing out the imperfections in the clay. Sometimes the master, the potter, puts the vessel in the fire for purpose, all right? And sometimes we're in the fire of life. Sometimes the master takes the clay in the finished vessel and puts it out there in the marketplace for the usage of which the clay was made, whatever the vessel is. And if you know your spiritual gift and you're out in the world making a difference in what you're doing, that's you. But remember also, sometimes, not sometimes, all the time, after the master puts the vessel in the fiery kiln for the purpose, he takes it out of the fiery kiln, he cures it by putting it up on the shelf. And he leaves it on the shelf until it's time to go out into the marketplace to be sold, to be used, however it was intended to be used. Sometimes when you and I are on the shelf of life, it seems like God's very distant. It seems like our prayer is hitting the wall. it seems like maybe God doesn't hear us. And we have this propensity to maybe get a little bit dismayed. Doesn't God know what I'm going through? Doesn't he understand? Doesn't he hear? Why isn't he moving? Understand, it's just as important in the fiery furnace as it is on the shelf to praise the Lord. Sometimes we can be dismayed because we don't think he's there, but he is. Thou didst hide my face, and I was dismayed. I called out in the Lord. I made supplication. Verse 9, what profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise thee? Will it declare thy faithfulness? A little bit of sarcasm here from David. But truth in fact, yeah, the dust can praise him. The rocks can, if we don't, the rocks will cry out glory to God. The dust will too. But David's basically saying, hey, it's no good for me to go to the grave. The dust isn't going to praise you. David's saying, I'm going to praise you. I've made up my mind. I'm a little bit dismayed, but I've made up my mind, even in my prosperity, I'm going to praise the Lord. Have you made up your mind? It doesn't matter what's going to happen. Doesn't matter what the doctor's report is. Doesn't matter what the boss at the company says. Doesn't matter what grade I get. Doesn't matter that I think I had this job and I didn't get that job. It doesn't matter. I'm going to praise the Lord. You see it? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, that my soul may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to thee forever. That's a good place to end it, folks. Good place to take a break in Psalms. I'll sing praise to you forever. I'll not be silent about it. You're not going to make me zip my lip. The culture may rail against you, but I'm going to praise you. That's what he's saying. I'm going to lift you up. It doesn't matter what the world dishes to me. I'm going to praise you. Can you think of a good song to close it on? I can. We'll sing mine. It is well with my soul. Listen to the words. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like seas billows roll, when sorrows come my way, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Isn't that a good one? Oh, Charles is just automatically coming up here. We don't want to listen to you, Brother Chuck. Let me lead the singing. I agree, Brother Charles. No, that's good. Come on up. It is well with my soul. Let's stand and sing this for our benediction, all right?
Ready? When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
Father, may that be a true statement of our heart. That when the world would revile us, when enemies threaten us, when disease acts like it wants to conquer our body, when doctors say there's nothing more we can do, that we would turn to you and say, it is well with my soul. In prosperity or poverty, I'm going to praise you. You are the good God who first loved me, and there's nothing that comes my way that doesn't first filter through your hands, and all things do work together for good, and I'm your ambassador, and so whatever happens, you allow it to happen, and you have purpose in it. It is well with my soul, and I'm going to praise you with every ounce of being that I have. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, I love you, brothers and sisters. Truth Project next week, all right? Hope to see you right here.